Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Braves Radio Network channel on the Podcast Park is brought to you by Truist Bank. When you start with care, you get a different kind of bank.
Hey, welcome to Braves Country.
Very special guest on the Braves Country podcast, ESPN's College Game Day analyst. He was there for 12 years, David Pollack, but you also know him as a three-time All-American linebacker at the University of Georgia.
Man, his signature play at UGA where he took a pass away from the South Carolina quarterback, Corey Jenkins, one of the best plays in Georgia football history.
Zero-yard interception and touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get any. That's like the ultimate defensive play, and he's the ultimate guy, man. 36 sacks in his college career, most in Georgia history, third overall in NCAA history. Of course, he had a short NFL career and then a long run with ESPN, 12 or 13 years that he just wrapped up because they can't keep their act together over there at ESPN.
No kidding. And a Georgia boy that graduated from Shiloh High School, All-State Defensive Lineman of the Year, David Pollack. Welcome to Braves Country.
Hello.
My friend Scott Munn is in here with me. He does the podcast with me, and he's been in the music business a long time and, you know, toured with bands and produced records. And
that's awesome. You got. I like it. Little country music podcast, man.
Yeah.
Let's get weird.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today. 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a Mad Men's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Coast, are you only into hip-hop or you just prefer hip-hop?
No, I'm a country music lover.
Okay, so
there we go.
I don't know where I got that then.
I listen to country music and Christian music. That is the extent of my music, probably. So.
Okay. All right. Well, you're right in my wheelhouse because my wife only listens to contemporary Christian, and I predominantly listen to country.
I love it when they mix and we get that country gospel thing going on. That's my favorite type of music. You know what I mean?
I mean, we got a lot of that now. Like, Tyler Hubbard does a great job of that now. Like, he's basically doing that. I mean, listen, he's got other songs, too. But, I mean, country, you got a lot of Jesus regardless.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's country. That's why it's our. That's why they're our kind of people.
Hey,
yeah.
Man, Jesus take the wheel. And, hey, Tug forgot to. He left out on all my accolades. The one thing is, I'm a graduate of the University of Georgia. I'm a Georgia Bulldog, and I'm right there with you, Mr. Pollack. Good to have you on the show.
Let's go. Hey, it's been a fun couple years, ain't it, bro?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, we're doing well. That's what I wanted to ask you. Tug's gonna. He wants to talk some Georgia football, but I got to cut right to it. Do you think we're in position to get a three-peat?
And we are. We are not what we were. When you watch the defense and you know the linebacker spot, like it's not as dominant as it was. The secondary's got a chance to become very good. You got the best 1-2 safety punch in the country. So I think we're good, but I do think that we're going to be more of an offensive team when we need to, and we're going to be able to outscore people, and Carson Beck is a stud. And I said it before the season, I thought he'd be in New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. I think he's that kind of good.
Wow.
big, tall, strong. You see that thing come off of his hand, bro. It's like you can hear that thing. Like he can throw it through a car wash and not get it wet. Like he's got some revolutions on that thing when he throws it, and and you can tell he's growing into it. You can tell Bobo's going to feature Brock Bowers, McConkey getting back healthy. So I think Georgia showed us something last week that just proved, like, hey, man, just take a step back before you start thinking about other people that are in college football across the country. It ain't going to be easy, but they're definitely going to be in the mix, which is always fun.
Oh, my gosh. I've been waiting my whole life. And my son's a freshman playing baseball over at College of Charleston, and he grew up a diehard Georgia Bulldogs fan. And he said the one great thing about being there, if I can't play at Georgia, I'll be at College of Charleston, but they don't have a football team, so I can still cheer on the Dogs and not feel bad about it.
Thanks, Skippy.
He's in a good spot.
I think there's a lot of long-suffering Georgia fans that let's be honest. Like, watching the Auburn game and the South Carolina game, like, you watch those games, and if you let yourself go back to the old pessimistic view, when you used to watch that, you're like, man, we're going to find a way to lose this. Like, that's right. What we used to say. Now, like, I don't even think about that as an option. Like,
it's
I'm
different.
Watching the game, and I'm like, well, we're just going to find a way to win. That's just what we do. That's who we are. And so it's definitely taken a turn in the last couple years. I remember being at the national championship game, and I was in the back with Reese Davis, who's an Alabama grad, and we're playing Alabama. And I'm like, listen, Reese, I'm just so sick and tired of y'all winning. I was like, just give us one. I said, we'll go away. Like, well, I'll walk off into the sunset. I don't need two. Like, just give me one in my lifetime. That would be amazing. And then we win. And then next year, like, coming into the season, I was like, listen, I don't care how good we are. We got a championship. And then do it again.
I know.
And now we're going to get, like, it's a great time to be a Georgia Bulldog.
Oh, my God. And that's the thing. Like, I've said it just the way you have so many times. Like, I just want to see them win one. I just want to. And for 40 years, Georgia Bulldogs fans have been like that. They've just wanted that. Just give me my day in the sun, and I'll be fine. But now things have changed. And your point about being optimistic now versus pessimistic, people look, they're like, we expect them to win, and they are.
And by the way, it's flipping fun.
It is.
It's awesome to be a part of. It's fun to feel like those other fan bases that we've seen over the years, and to know we got a coach that's going to keep it going.
Yes, sir.
I know we're not going to talk Georgia football the whole time, but that is fun to talk
about. We could, though. We could. I would be just fine with it because Braves baseball and Georgia football, that's the things that Scott and I were both raised on. It's something that we've done our entire life. So that's interesting that you bring that up. And Scott and I were talking about this. I know you're a football guy, but do you have Braves memories? Are there those games that you went to or players that you cheered for, or did you listen with your grandpa on the radio?
Bro, I went to the parade when we won the World Series. Like, I didn't go to school, and I went to the parade. I mean, it was outstanding. So, my phone number growing up, everybody who asked, and this is back when we had phone numbers that you actually called each other's houses, I'd be like, hey, my phone number is 770-985 Michael Jordan Greg Olson. That's how I told people my phone number growing up, and like, where were you when Sid slid? I mean, Pendleton, all those guys, of course, man. And just, I mean, it was a part of the culture when you lived here, man. And we were so dominant. You know, I've been friends with Smoltz for years, and Frank Gore played high school football against him, and McCann and all those guys. So, yeah, I mean, the Braves and, I would be lying if I came on here and told you I watch every game, but the playoffs are so much daggum fun. And the other night, oh, my God, that place had to be stupid bananas going nuts.
Oh, it totally was.
Come back and make that happen. I mean, y'all were there with
the Tug and I were both there, and the stadium shook. And Tug was just telling me before the show that it shook so much that it actually registered on the Richter scale. We caused an earthquake over here. The fans did. So, it was amazing. What a play! It happened so fast. It was amazing to see it live. It was just like, is this happening? Wow! And it had that feeling of like winning the World Series. It was a big deal because before that we were sort of dead in the water, and now we got the momentum, I think.
By the way, we got to give credit to the Braves too, because we weren't winning national championships at Georgia. The Braves had to do it for us. They had to start us off. They had to get us going in that winning tradition, and then all of a sudden it got contagious.
That's right. They were the first domino, is what you're saying.
Dang right.
I agree with you.
Some people would say Atlanta United, but okay. I'm not going to give Atlanta United any credit. But I don't follow soccer. No,
me either.
I love soccer. But I tell you what, man, just from a guy that hasn't followed baseball my whole life, like really, because, you know, I went through a stretch when you're playing football all the time. But, like, the excitement of the guys that we have with being able to run as fast as they can and steal bases and drop bombs, like, and the time this year was a big deal for somebody like me who's squirrely and ADD all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like, being able to shrink the games, man, was so much more fun. Like, it's just, it's way more fun for an average fan like me to sit down and not be distracted and go to the pantry 400 times to get food and eat.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I was against those rule changes. I'll admit, I was a little bit like, I just don't know. And then I was free to admit that I was completely wrong. That was the right decision.
Hope you do that with your wife too at home. I hope you always
absolutely.
I hope you always admit
you're wrong. Every day.
Son, I've been married 22 years. Absolutely, yeah. I figured it out early.
You better learn that. That's a better way to live life. That's for sure.
No kidding. But it's so funny you bring that up because I know you and your wife have the Pollock Family Foundation, and there's things that y'all do. I know you got a podcast, but you're focused on healthy families, educating people, benefits of nutrition and exercise, just all the things that are so important. There is nothing, in my opinion, there is one privilege in the United States, and that is growing up in a loving household with a mother and a father. Like, you can argue it any which way you want to, but that, to me, if there is a privilege, that is it. And y'all are real good examples, and my wife and I try to be that for our son too. But y'all are living it elsewhere too, not just in the house. You're promoting it to other families.
Yeah, and listen, man, you look around and I'm like, what you just said about America and look what's going on in Israel. Like, there's a lot of bad stuff that happens in this world, and we are so dang privileged. And me and my wife, we've been so blessed, you know, in our life and in our journey and all the things. So, like, we giving back is a huge part of what we do. I'm gonna give you a little quick synopsis of something we're doing with our foundation. I'll be as quick as I can. You know, we want to serve people that need it, and we want to serve people that. And the Bible talks about it in Luke 14:12-14. It talks about, like, when you have a feast and when you throw a banquet, it says, like, don't invite the people that you know, that the people that can pay you back. But when you have a banquet, invite the crippled, the poor, the lame, the people that can't do, you know, anything for you, and then you'll be given, you'll be blessed at the resurrection. Well, reading that passage, like, this year, one of my buddies who's a big mentor in my life. So we're doing something November 20th. We're renting a classic center in downtown Athens, and we are busing all the homeless in the area. And we're going to bus 800 to 1,000, you know, people that will come. We are going to have linen cloths, linen tables. We are going to serve these folks and tell them that they matter. Tell them that we love them. Tell them that they're important. We're going to give them a Thanksgiving feast. Now, listen, this is my dream and my goal down the road. Like, I'm not saying it'll happen year one, but we want to give them coats. We want to give them blankets. We want to give them underwear, socks, a to-go bag with food. Like, you know, we want to take care of these folks and let them know that, like, you guys matter. And by the way, all of these gifts we want to give them, every single one is going to have a wrapper on and a price tag on it because you're worth buying this for.
Wow.
So we're going to be we're super excited. But that's one of the events, like, that we do with the Family Foundation, and we want to bless people, man. We've been blessed so much, and we want to find people to give back. And I just can't wait because we're going to have 100 to 150 volunteers of all of our friends and family, and we are going to serve them so well and love on them and have a choir and singing gospel songs and Christmas songs and just let them know that we love them and they matter.
David Pollock, God bless you for doing that, buddy. That is amazing, and it sounds like you got a great team rallying around you. But tell us again the date on that, and how can people get involved if they want to help?
It's going to be Monday, November 20th at the Classic Center, and we're in the beginning stages of getting it. And my wife, I'm driving my wife nuts, by the way, because I'm like a go, and I'm like, we'll figure the other stuff out later. It's going to cost us a lot of money. I'm like, babe, God will fix it. Like, don't even worry about that, babe. And she's like, no. We got to nail this down. We need to know X, Y, and Z. I'm like, no. We can't hold our hand out, Lord. We can't hold our hand out, honey, with it closed. We got to hold it open because God can put more in there. Like, he can keep putting more in there and more in there and more in there that we can give away. So all of my social medias, we're gonna be sharing it very soon in the video, the message. You know, the PollockFamilyFoundation.com. You can find it there. But we're gonna be sharing it and give people opportunities to support in any way, shape, or form.
Dude, I love that, man. That this is gonna be an odd word to use between a bunch of dudes sitting here, but that's the sweetest thing I think I've heard in a long time, man.
Kind, yeah.
Hey, it's gonna get better too, because next year after we do this and we get the blueprint, I'm gonna call Tebow and be like, Tebow, this is how we did it. Like, this is how we did it. He's got a Christian foundation.
That's right.
This is how we did it. Let's do it the same night. Hey, Tua, let's do it the same night next year. Let's get 7 to 10 of these sites going where we're just serving God's people.
Dude, I love the fact that you brought up Tua, because I obviously knew Tim Tebow is very committed to his faith, and I admire him so much because of that. And I want to be – I look up to him, and he's younger than I am, and I look up to him because of the way he lives his life, and I want to live my life that way. And I'm not there yet, but I'm working. I'm going to get there. And I'm a broken sinner, and I know it, but I'm going to do better because I know I can. But I'm glad you brought up Tua, because I used something the other day on this show that I do, where we unfortunately talk about the news a lot, and I was tired of talking about things being bad, because you're right, you got the thing in Israel, you got there's bad all around the world. All you have to do is flip on the news at night, you'll see bad. And I did a whole segment on people that are in the spotlight that maybe you wouldn't expect to be praying and talking about the Lord, because of course you do with Tebow, but when Tua, because he was an Alabama quarterback, I'm a Georgia man, I got nothing for Tua, you know. And then I learned about his faith, and all I said, and I retweeted his statement when he was talking about praying on the sidelines and all this after they lost, and I said, I'm a new fan of him because of who he is, not because of the status he has, not because of he's a great football player and I love football, because of who he is. And I used a second example, and I bet it's a guy that you know well, in Thomas Rhett, when he stopped an entire concert to pray for someone who had a medical emergency during his show. He sat on the side of the stage and prayed to the Lord Jesus to be with that family. And I was so moved by that. I was like, we're going to not talk about the ugly in the world. We're going to talk about the good for at least this 15-minute segment, and those are the two examples I used.
And I just, man, I feel it in my soul, man. I feel like there's so many more people that are just willing to share their faith. Mario, for the linebacker for the Saints, like he's been up there preaching like on Sundays, yeah, and using the opportunity to talk about what God's done in his life. And I feel like we're at a time in our world that, man, like, because listen, like, the world doesn't give you an opportunity now to kind of straddle the fence. Like, they kind of want to know what you are and who you are. Like, I just feel like we've got a lot of great role models in sports. Kirk Cousins.
Yes, like, sir.
I mean, you watch that cat and you watch him take care of business and the way he is. And I think we're getting a lot more of that in sports, and a lot more people that are willing to share their faith. And listen, Thomas Rhett, I was at a Jeff Foxworthy concert. He did the same exact thing. Somebody had a medical emergency, stopped it and prayed for him.
Like, love him.
We serve such a great God, man. And here's the thing about God. Like, no matter where you're at, and whoever's listening to this, no matter where you're at and what you're doing and what stage of life you're in, God is for you. Your God in heaven is for you. He's not against you. So when things happen in your life that are difficult and you don't understand them, there's always a reason. There's always a reason that happens, and when we get through things and we learn why we got through things. I mean, I broke my neck, you know, 18 years ago in the NFL, and it ended my NFL career, and that was my goal since I was 6 years old. Man, I didn't realize that God was going to take that and make me a better dad, like make me a better husband, make me a better friend. Like, I didn't know what he was going to do with my future, but I know if we can approach things like our God is for us, he's not against us, and everything that comes our way, he wants good. I mean, man, you can see, you can bring light to your situation. You can realize that there's a purpose to it. And I think it helps you whenever you're going through those things.
Man, absolutely. And I'm so glad that you'll say that on the air and tell people that you're using your platform to just express that to people, because so many outlets out there just spew negativity. And I don't want to get negative, but I do want to go back to Georgia football and the culture there for a minute, and I want to ask you what we're going to do about something. You know, I've said a few times that we won the national championship the last couple of years, but we finished in last place off the field, in my mind. I mean, You know, we had, of course, the tragic deaths after we celebrated that second championship. Stetson Bennett having trouble, and then, you know, he got arrested in Dallas. Now he's having to deal with rehab out in his pro career in Los Angeles. What can we do, or what do you know is happening with Kirby Smart and the plans at Georgia to improve the off-field culture at UGA? Is there anything that can be done?
Here's what I'll say about this. I think it's hard. When you have a bunch of kids now with the situation, and by the way, this is happening everywhere, right? Like it's not just at Georgia. Now the racing thing feels like it's exclusively us and driving cars, doesn't it? Like that.
Yeah, it does.
That just feels like something, and it feels like something. My goodness, like we need to get a grip on. That's something that's so controllable that it feels like it's so easy not to do, and you should know better. But these kids are 18 to 22 year old kids, and let's be honest. Let's take ourselves back in the machine and go back to when we were that age.
Yeah.
And let's take ourselves to let's put our lives now under a microscope 24/7. I'm not making excuses for them, guys. But where do you get away from anything like nowadays? Like there's cameras everywhere. There's social media everywhere. Like where do they go to decompress? They got to find outlets. They got to find healthy outlets. And listen, I think you add something else to the mix too. Now with NIL, now everybody's got money.
That's right. That's big.
Oh, more money, more problems, right? Like
yeah.
I mean, I think you've got an opportunity now to do what you want, buy the cars you want, do some of the stuff you want. But they're kids, and I can tell you this, being around that program really a lot, Kirby does an unbelievable job of pouring into them and teaching them for the future and trying to hold them accountable and trying to make them understand how much those things matter. Kirby, he's been more vocal about his faith too, by the way, which I freaking love. I think it's fantastic that he's been able to share his faith a little bit more. And but there's going to be problems with kids that are that young. There's going to be problems with money and success that comes with it. That I think it's, what does your response look like? Like my son gets in trouble sometimes. I get in trouble sometimes, right? Like, what is my response? How do I learn from this? How do I grow? How do I continue to not do some of those things? You would hope with some of the examples that that they would get some of that stuff corrected and taken care of. But, you know, these are kids with money, and they're going to have some of that stuff.
That's right. Episode 100 of the Braves Country Podcast, our guest David Pollock. You know him from the NFL. You know him from playing at UGA. You know him from ESPN. And that's another thing that you brought up, how God worked with you in your injury in the NFL. How is he working now with your departure from ESPN? Because, man, you were the reason I watched. I mean, and I know you've heard this before, then I would have to correct my friends who would be like, I can't believe David Pollock would pick against us. And I was like, he's just doing his job. He's telling you what he sees. Yeah. That's what you've asked him to do. But how has God worked in moving and changing you after leaving there? Because I feel like you did a great job. I know ESPN's in some sort of financial way, and that's, you know, a different story altogether. But how has it changed you for the better?
It's been awesome. I mean, it's been so good, man, because – you know, you get going on that bicycle of life, right? And I loved what I did, by the way. And I'd still be doing it if I didn't get canned. But I'm driving my bicycle, and I'm riding down the road, and I'm 12, 13 years into doing something that, you know, I thought that I was kind of made to do, right? Like, it's kind of like with football. You think you're kind of made to do it, but what happens, it goes away. And so now what happens with the brain is it's really cool because now it's, what's the art of the possible? And I started talking to so many people that blew my mind. The conversations that I got to have with people in the different spaces of work and stuff like that. God, here's what God's done. God's done a bunch of things. God's been showing off too. He's like just trust me, big fella. Like, I got bigger things for you. I got to go speak to a 1,000 students in Trussville, Alabama, and middle school and high school kids. 102 walked forward and accepted Christ.
Wow.
Like, that was like that was an aha moment. Like my social media, there's no doubt. Like, I get to share my faith more. Like, my company was a little bit different than I am. Like, just different. I didn't get to do as much of sharing, and I didn't get to do as much as travel of doing other stuff outside because they kept me busy with my stuff. So I get to share. You know, it's been really cool. It's been really cool to look my 15-year-old and my 13-year-old, you know, son and daughter in the face and be like, listen, I don't know why this happened, but I know that God's got us, and he's going to take care of us. So y'all pray for me, because I don't know what the next step is. And really being patient in this next phase and trying to show my kids, like, listen, I'm going to be like even being obedient, some things like this are going to happen. And so what does your response look like? How am I going to talk to God and sit and be patient? I'm trying to be as patient as I can to sit back. And so I've learned to sit back. I've learned to be still. I've learned to listen. And the biggest thing I'm trying to do right now is if a door is cracked, guys, I ain't pushing it open. Like, okay. I'm gonna wait for God to swing that puppy wide open. And I've had a lot of conversations with so many coaches, like in college football across the country, and I haven't even favored the conversation because I don't. If God wants me to do it, He'll make it clear. And so I'm kind of just trying to be still, know that He is God. You know, Psalm 46:10, and sit back and listen and see what the next step is for me. But while I'm doing it, man, I'm loving the speaking, like speaking all over the place. I got a speaking engagement tonight. I'm speaking at Liberty's convocation to their 9,000 students in a couple weeks. You know, just doing the motivational speaking stuff, sharing my faith, stuff like that in the time being until God kind of shows me the next steps and what He wants me to walk through.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Explain to me, though, what you mean, because I think a lot of people are going to feel this as something that they see in their life. When you say, I'm not going to walk through or push open a cracked door, you're going to wait for God to open the door and it make it so obvious. What does that mean, David? Because I think a lot of people are looking for that. They're in that search in their life for something, and they're trying to figure out what is it that God's telling them, and how do you know? And I think your analogy was just really good. It sparked me anyway.
Well, here's the thing. I think a lot of us as Christians, we are very willing to lay our problems at Jesus' feet. We are very willing. But you know what we do as Christians? We lay it at His feet, and then a little bit later we come back and we pick it up.
Right. Yeah.
That's what we do. Yep. And so what I'm doing is, you know, I've started some holy habits that I didn't do before, by the way. I get up every day 30 minutes before I'm going anywhere, and my hot tub's on. I go get in the hot tub, and I listen to God for 20 minutes to start my day. Like, wow. And I'll be honest, it was difficult in the beginning when I started because I literally don't take my phone. I put my phone in a towel and I wrap it up so I can't hear it buzz. I can't be distracted by my phone. And then I literally looked at my phone to see the clock like 7 minutes in the first time. You know, like I didn't have as much to talk about. I didn't have as much to sit there and wrestle with God. But the more I continue to do that over the last couple of months, the more I hear from Him, man. The more I get clarification, the more I get validation, the more I hear like little gentle nudges that He gives me throughout my day, is the more I'm inviting Him in. When I go to a business meeting, I've been to so many business meetings lately, I'm like, God, you know, Holy Spirit, be with me. Like, just help me to hear what You want me to hear. Help me to hear certain things that I can clarify. But what I mean is by that is, like, I'm not forcing it. I'm not chasing it. I'm not calling, you know, Kirby and going, hey, you know, because Kirby was one of the first guys to reach out to me. What are you going to do next? I didn't want to follow that conversation up because if I follow it up, I'm starting to crack that door.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Because, like, yeah, so you would have been on the football field coaching. Right.
And here's the thing. If I'm coaching, I got 4 years left with both of my babies. I got 5 years left with either kid in the house. And I know Davey, and I'm going to turn into – I'm a go-getter. And I am going to run 1,000 miles an hour in that direction, and my family will suffer. So, like, I had to sit down and go, what are your priorities, dude? My priorities are my family. Like, my family is my priority. Love I'm that. Going to soak up every opportunity I get to be with my family. Guess what? If I want to chase money – I can wait till my kids are gone in 5 years and go chase all the money I want to chase. Do I need to make money to make a living? Of course we do. We have to make money. All of us have to do that. But my priority is going to – I had a speaking engagement the other day that was going to pay me a huge chunk of change, a lot of money. My daughter has an eighth-grade basketball game. Like, every part of my brain starts going, well, let me hear more details. Let me justify this. No. What's your priority, bro? What did you say your priority was? Yeah, they might go win by 20. They might lose by 20. It's eighth grade. Who cares? No, my priority is my daughter. So I said I didn't want to get too far in the weeds with the conversation about details. I was like, nah, I'm out. I'm busy. So, I mean, listen, I'm learning in the journey. Like, right, I'm learning as we go. But I do know that when we're purposeful and we're still and we're finding time to ask and finding time to listen, I think God's a lot more responsive to us.
Man, I feel so encouraged just by your words, man.
Yeah, exactly, it's great talking to you, David Pollock, here on the Braves Country Podcast. I know you have a podcast of your own called Family Goals with David Pollock and Pastor Jay out of the Greystone Church. Tell us how that came about and what kind of energy are you able to put into that now?
Well, now I get to put a lot into it. Yeah. You've been fired. It started in our closet at our church. I kind of walked my pastor through some of the stuff with my son and what we were walking through and what was going on. And we started talking about like setting, and I sat down with my son, and I would encourage everybody to do this, by the way. A lot of times we go, and then we don't realize what our kids' goals and dreams are. And so I sat down with Nicholas. I remember when he was, 13 years old a couple years ago. And I said, hey buddy, what are your goals? Like, what are your dreams? Not daddy's for you. Like, what is your goals? What are your and I said, what are your faith goals? What are your goals? How do you go closer to God? And we sat down and we mapped some faith goals out. Now, what are your school goals? Okay, well, I want to make straight A's. Like, what are your school goals? How are we going to do this? What are your sports goals? Well, I want to play in the NBA. But stating those goals out of what they were, because now I get to take myself out of the equation. When I say that is, I'm not saying, hey, have you gone out and shot? Have you gone out and do this? I'd be like, hey, bud, we talked about me being your accountability partner. Are you accomplishing your goals? And then guess whose responsibility is? It's his.
Yeah.
It's not ours. It's not my journey.
That's right.
Like, so that's how it started, because I was telling Pastor Jay about that, who's our pastor. And, he's like, let's do a pod. We could do a podcast, get it all down. And I was like, sure, we'll give it a whirl. And, man, it's been nuts what God's done. Like, it's been really, really crazy. I mean, here's an example for you. Dansby Swanson texted me a couple months ago, and he was like, hey, man. He goes, dude, your Family Goals podcast is making me a better husband.
Wow, that's great.
And I was, like, bro, that's awesome. That's so good to hear. He's like, keep it up, And I can give you more examples of people like that that have loved it and listened to it. But it's really trying to give you practical ways to influence your family. For example, like love languages. We talk about love languages, the five love languages. Everybody who's married has probably heard, have you done the five love languages? Okay, have you ever thought about it for your kids?
Oh, wow. No, I haven't. I mean, I've only got one, but no, I've not.
Okay, well, your son or your daughter has a love language. What is it? You know what's important? It's important that I know it. Well, and I'm a big person on takeaways. So, like, my daughter is a 13-year-old girl. She's a teenager, right? Her love language has always been physical touch. Well, as she gets old, this is the stuff we do on Family Goals, because I'm like, I want this to be very, like, simplistic and takeaways that you take right now and you get to go apply. Okay, well, my daughter's a big time, but she's growing up. She's going through that stage of becoming a woman. It's a little weirder, right? Like, okay, well, here's what I do. I come behind my daughter and I put my hand on her shoulder because it's still physical touch. Yeah. I don't have to hug her anymore.
That's
I don't
right.
have to have her in my lap anymore. But I need to know that. Like, I need to know if she's words of affirmation in ways I can pour into her. But it's really taking a book like that and going, okay, well, here's this. Here's physical touch. Here's what it looks like for your kids. Putting your we're big on teaching you how to put your wife first over your kids, because that's the order,
difficult.
By the way.
It's that's God. Difficult.
Well, it is difficult because our society doesn't do it. But right. Okay, so like family goals, it's like, okay, how are we going to do that? Well, here's my tangible steps. Like when I walk in the door, guess who's the first person I should greet?
Your wife.
My baby doll. Like when I have – now, listen, I'm not saying your kids won't beat her there sometimes. Like that's going to happen.
Sure.
I'm just saying like that's the first person I'm looking for. How about with my kids? I ask my kids all the time, hey, kiddos, who's my favorite? And when they were little, they'd be like, me. I'm like, nope, right there.
It's mommy. Your mama. Yeah.
God gave me her first. God gave me her, and we got you now. We love you, and you come next. But that woman right there is the most important woman in my
life. That's right.
And so just that's the family goals. We'll take different topics and tell you from a biblical perspective, and we'll hit some topics that might strike a nerve with some people too, and just how we can tangibly maybe make our families a little bit better. And then we've had guests on too that have been awesome with Coach Rick and Dabo Swinney and Tony Dungy, and we'll have them tell their stories of, you know, coming to faith and how they apply their family goals and their stuff to their family.
Tony Dungy may be my hero. Like if I
stud.
Oh my God, if I have a humanly hero, and I don't know that I do, but he would qualify as that person for me. Just because like he's so pure of heart, he does the right things.
He's overcome so much too.
He's overcome. He's just like of people that are of substance in this world. Tony Dungy, man, he gets the gold star of the day every day.
Oh, he's so good. His patience is what sticks out to me. Like his just having that ability to be like, dude, chill out. Like God's got this. It's going to be okay. Let's not lose our ever loving mind. And he's got 32 kids. They've adopted and stuff. They got so many kids and stuff too. It's crazy. You better have some patience for that. Good Lord.
No kidding.
Hey, speaking of coaching football, a little birdie told me you've been coaching, volunteering, helping out, however you want to phrase it, at the North Oconee High School Titans football program over there in Watkinsville. Is that true? And what's going on?
Oh, bro, it's so true. The Titans, baby, we are dirty too. We're good. we're the number two team in the state. Haven't played a lot of competitive games yet or great competition, so that's coming down the road. But, man, it's been – you know, last year I started coaching at the high school on a small level because I couldn't be there a ton because of travel. Now this year I get to be there a lot more, and every Friday night, and they gave me a headset, which is awesome.
nice.
It's the small things, really, in life.
Oh, dude, it really is. And but I get to love on my dudes, and we got a good group coaching up the D line. But no, it's part of the last several years. I've been like, I speak on a microphone, but your return on mission isn't great. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting paid,
that's
good
right.
money, I get to travel and go do this, but, like, who am I impacting? And so that's why I started, you know, last year doing it, and then and that's why I started speaking a couple years before that, and now, obviously, it becomes a full-time gig with both of those. But just it's so fun to get in high school kids' lives and love on them and try to teach them little things and try to help them overcome certain things. And but it makes you feel good. It's something that I'm competitive. I love teaching them how to be competitive. I love teaching them how to be tough. I love teaching them how to bring it every single day. My son's a ninth grader now, so you know, he's up there with me. Thank God he's not in my position group. But I told him, I was like, buddy, listen, like when you come up here, bud, I love you, and you know this, right? But I am not your coach. So, like, I'm not going to teach you. I'm not going to coach you anything. I said, I probably won't say that much to you. I'm probably just going to coach my guys. But I only have so much influence. You know, the older they get, you only have so much influence. And I'm just desperately seeking right now as a father to not waste it on sports. Like, I don't give a dang about sports. Like, I want to waste it on things that are going to matter. You know, like his relationships with people. Most importantly, his relationship with God and his walk and how to be different. And I'm not wasting it on, hey, let's go watch some football tape. Like, I don't watch tape with my son. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to. But it's a fun stage of life, man. And if God's got me right here and that's what he wants me to do, man, I am more than content. But I'll tell you this much, bro. It has been a lot of fun.
sitting my fat butt on the couch on Saturdays watching football.
As a fan again.
Now, it's not on the couch. I saw you out between the hedges the other day, so you're getting out to the field a little bit.
No, I've been out there a little bit too, but it's just fun to sit and be a fan and have that day of chill. And now I realize why everybody loves it so much and why college football is so great, because it is awesome on your Saturday to get some chill time, get some family time, and watch a bunch of ball.
Now, speaking of relationships with people, you just said that, and somebody that we had on the show who's very cool, and I think you're friends with him too because he's out there in Watkinsville, and I heard that you support him. Our buddy Jack at Jack's Cheesecakes. Can you talk a little bit about that guy?
Yeah, they come out to a bunch of the functions. They were at Mercy a couple weeks ago. We were one of the sponsors for the banquet that they had with Mercy. So, just cool. Jack's Cheesecakes, they do a good job supporting foundations, supporting events. They come out to Russ Tanner's Bash every year that we have. And they're in this area. Just Jack's doing his thing, doing with his cheesecakes, and doing his thing with his dad, who obviously helps him a lot. But I think it's a cool little ministry. It's a cool little thing just to be able to have, like, for Jack to have something of his own. I think it's really, really cool of them to be able to build something like that. Very smart and very fun to be a part of.
So we're getting ready to wrap up here, man. We appreciate all your time and your kindness and just your enthusiasm, your faith, who you are, the bumps and bruises, they don't hurt you. They actually improve you, and I see that in you, and I admire it a whole lot. So I know you're really obviously a very healthy guy, health conscious. I mean, your foundation with your wife is focused on some of that stuff. Do you still eat good Southern food too?
I don't. I'm the worst person you could ever have at any of your talks about, or any of your special dinners and stuff like that. I am 100% the person that eats to survive.
Yeah, to live, not live to eat.
My wife, I don't say this like as a physical term, just to be clear, she's a fatty. Like, she loves to eat. Mm-hmm. She gets so excited about eating, and I'm the biggest buzzkill. Like, she's like, let's go here. I'm like, in. She's like, what are you looking like that's looking good in the menu? I was like, I'm looking at a salad. I get a salad most places where I go, and she's like, well, I can't decide between this one and this one. I was like, well, I'll get that one. Yeah. And you get, and that way you can eat basically both of them.
Okay.
Like, 'cause it's what happens. So, like, I was a chubby kid when I was younger. And so I started to learn how to eat healthy when I was in college, and really became a lifestyle. And I haven't had a sweet since. And
wow.
I haven't touched a sip of alcohol. Like, I don't put anything in my body. Like, I try not to put anything in my body unless I know it's good for me. So yeah. I'm a buzzkill. So I apologize.
No apology needed. No
hey,
apology
needed. I appreciate it, because I'm learning about that right now. The doctor actually told me a couple months ago that we had to clean up the act. I've been working out and monitoring the calorie intake, and also I cut out sugar, soda, bread, all that stuff for a while. And so what advice do you have for people who are trying to turn the corner and get into working out and get that healthy lifestyle going? What can they do? What are they missing?
Well, you just hit it on the head. Sugar is Satan. Right. Sugar is the worst thing you can put in your body. Like, if you look at the percentage of daily needs on the wrapper, on the back of it, it's never going to say a percentage, because you don't need it. You're not supposed to have it. Like, it's just, there's nothing. I mean, I had a knee procedure, a PRP done a couple years ago, and they injected sugar water into my knee. And I was like, why are you injecting sugar water? Like, well, it creates more inflammation because sugar does that. And they're like, so your body will run to help it. I'm like, awesome. So why would you ever eat something like that? Like, if it's going to irritate your body. So I think learning to not drink calories, drinking a lot of water, preparing as much as you can in advance, like thinking about the next meal is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's body is the same, by the way. Some people can eat carbs and some people can't. Like, I think you got to find what's good for you. But, like, the intermittent fasting is something that really works well for me. So, like, I don't eat my first meal until 12 or 1 every day. So it gives me a long break of not eating, and the stuff behind that, first of all, it shrinks your eating window. So now I only have, 12 to 10 to eat for the rest of the day. So it cuts that down. But what it also does is it gives your body a little bit of a rest from always feeding it all the time, giving it calories. So, don't drink calories, try not to eat out as much as possible. you know, if you're going to do salads, try to dip your fork in the dressing so you don't use all the dressing, because the dressing is the bad part a lot of times. But and then think ahead, man. Think with your meals ahead. Like, if I've got a party, you know, this Saturday night, and I know I'm not going to eat great, well, let's cut back on breakfast and lunch. You know, let's make those really small, and then I'm going to have a bigger meal at night.
Look at there, just wisdom pouring out of David Pollock. And I bet you can hear a lot of that stuff on the podcast that you do, and obviously on social media. Where can folks find you across the social media platforms?
Well, I'm at DavidPollock47 at Twitter. And if you, by the way, you were speaking earlier about the positive stuff.
Yes, sir.
Like, if you want to see positive stuff, that's all we do now. Like, I think it's been really cool. You know, since I've been let go with ESPN, like all my tweet feed is literally you're going to see a bunch of positive stories, a bunch of people sharing their fades. You know, that's kind of what we do. We share a bunch of the family goals clips. But you're gonna get Tua talking about his faith. You're gonna get you know, different people, different sports talking about their faith, like with the Cardinals the other day. You're gonna get all of that. And then I'm on same thing with David Pollock 47 on Instagram and all that stuff. And social media is not the greatest thing in the history of the world. It can be very, very negative.
Yes,
but we try to be extremely positive and share good stories and share faith. And I spoke at I preached at our middle school service 2 years ago. And when I preached, I did a series called Real or Counterfeit. And I asked all of them, there was like 100 plus kids in the room. I said, is social media real or counterfeit? And every single one of them said counterfeit.
They ain't wrong.
And they all, and I was like, you're 100% right. And I said, I can tell by your last five posts exactly what's in your heart. And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, I can tell if you're about youth, you're about likes, if you're about like being popular. I could tell if you're about show. I said, I went home, guys, and I literally looked at my last five posts, and I was like, wait a minute, are you sharing Jesus? And yeah. It was a very convicting moment, and I was like, I will not go five posts without sharing my faith. Important to me. So it's kind of one of those things that kind of changed the way I looked at it. So it's not always bad, but so we try to be positive on there.
I promise this is the last thing I promise to you. Are there chickens behind you, or something? I swear, I hear like chickens or birds or something.
I live in the country. We got a bunch of acreage, so you got cows across the pasture. You got donkeys.
Okay.
I mean, we are definitely fully in the mix of.
Oh, I love
and,
it.
In the country, it is definitely country.
I like country music, and I like country people, and I was raised in the country, so I know.
And you can hear a dang chicken. That's for sure.
I'm telling. My sister-in-law's got chickens, so and maybe I don't hear them. Maybe it's just something in my headphones. I don't know, but I just hear the tiny peeps or what it sounded like. Of little chicken. So I a random question, but I thought I'd ask. David Pollock, thank you so much for being on the Braves Country Podcast, episode 100. We've been rolling right along, and this has been a fantastic conversation, man. So grateful for you and what you represent.
Well, kid, thanks for having me on. Congratulations on the 100, and keep going, and then we'll go win the World Series again, too. That'll
Let's go, man. Sounds another good, World man. Series, another national championship. I can't think of anything I'd rather have.
Just keep adding them, baby. Yes,
there sir. We go. Go, Dogs.
No dog. See you guys.
See you, buddy. David Pollock, goodness gracious. Awesome dude. He is a great guest. He kind of represents everything that we represent and hope to portray on this little bitty show called Braves Country Podcast here on the Braves Radio Network. He loves Jesus. He loves the dogs. He loves the Braves. And I didn't even know that. I had no idea. I was told that he didn't like baseball at all.
Three-time All-American linebacker at UGA. 36 sacks in his college career, which is the most in Georgia history. And a short career in the NFL. And, of course, 12, 13 years at ESPN. But, man, I feel like he's just now getting started, really. That was all just the foundation for what
That's
he's
what
about
he said.
To do.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
He was like, all that is just leading me to whatever's next, whatever God has next for me.
It's inspirational for everybody to know that, like, whatever you've gone through in your life, good or bad, that's just the platform you're standing on now, and now you just keep going. And I think a lot of people need to hear that right now. So anyway, great to have everybody listen to episode 100. If you're out there listening, please give us some feedback. Go to Facebook at Braves Country Podcast. Jump on there and say that you're a listener and say hello. We want to hear from you, basically. And also, I was talking to a lot of musicians, Tug, and I got a little surprise for you.
Give it to me.
You know, I told them we wanted to hear from them because we were coming up on episode 100, and some of my favorite folks called and left us some voicemails. And the first one I got to play for you is a great guy. We had him on an episode in this first 100 here. We had Britt Turner on. Britt Turner, the fabulous drummer of Blackberry Smoke. And, man, he's battled some things through the years. And, Man, he's an inspiration, too. You should look him up if you don't know his story already. But he had this to say about the Braves Country Podcast, episode 100.
I want to congratulate Scott and Tug on their 100th episode of Braves Country Podcast. Amazing show. I love it. Baseball and rock and roll, country music, it all goes together. The Braves are going to do it again this year. Super excited. And speaking of Truist Park, Blackberry Smoke will be up at the Roxy the day after Thanksgiving for our annual holiday homecoming. See y'all there. Love you, brothers.
Very kind.
Kind message. Another person who's been very supportive and was on the show a few times in the first 100 episodes is Atlanta's own Michelle Malone.
Love Michelle Malone.
What? 100th episode of the Braves Country Podcast. Amazing. Congratulations to y'all, Tug and Scott. Thank you for such a great job of bringing together Georgia music and the Atlanta Braves. It's always a wonderful show to listen to and to be on. So thank y'all for all your hard work, and let's go Braves. We all know you're going to do it again. Congratulations to the Braves Country Podcast for their 100th episode. Yeah!
She loves her some Bravos, and I got to tell you, she's telling me she wants to come to some playoff games, so we're going to have to figure that out. And here's a bunch of other folks, too, that you got to hear from. There's too many to list. A bunch of people left messages basically for you, Tug, but, you know, I'm kind of involved, too.
Yeah, come on now. There's a reason they... You called them. They would never even return my call.
Well, all these folks introduced themselves, so no need to introduce them. But, man, listen to this, folks, and then join us on the Facebook page at Braves Country Podcast. Check all these folks out and all their great music. And thank you to everyone for listening to the first 100 episodes of the Braves Country Podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is David Lowry from the bands Cracker and Camper Van Beethoven. And I'm just wishing Scott and Tug a happy 100th episode. Good work, guys.
Hey, this is Brian J. Howard from the band Cracker. I just wanted to congratulate Tug and Scott on 100 episodes of Braves Country Podcast. We love what you do and expect another World Series win this year.
Hey, y'all. Angie Aparo here. 100 episodes of Braves Country Podcast. Holy crap. So good. Congrats to Tug and Scott, man. I just love the marriage of baseball and music. It's just amazing. Congrats again. Love you guys. Bye.
Hey, this is Adam Hood, and I just wanted to say congratulations to Scott and Tug on your 100th episode. Very impressed, guys. Thank y'all.
What's going on, everybody? This is Demon Jones. I want to congratulate my friends Tug Cowart and Scott Munn on the 100th episode of the Braves Country Podcast. I myself have been a part of Braves Country my entire life, and I am so pumped about this 2023 squad. I'm 100% certain they have everything it takes to bring another championship to Braves Country.
Hey, guys. John Driscoll Hopkins here of the Zach Brown Band. Congratulations to Tug Cowart and Scott Munn. 100 episodes of Braves Country Podcast. This holiday season, come join me and my friends on December 20th at the Buckhead Theater. Stay tuned for a holiday podcast where I talk about my new holiday album. Go Braves!
Hey, y'all, it's Stevie Tombstone. I just want to say congratulations to Scott and Tug for 100 episodes of the Braves Country Podcast. Here's to the Braves winning the World Series this year. Y'all keep doing what you're doing. I'll see you on the road.
Hey, everybody. This is Sid Bream from the Atlanta Braves. I mean, you know, the individual was just slow enough to make it close at home plate in October of 1992. I am just calling in to tell Tug and Scott congratulations on 100 episodes for Braves Country Podcast. Proud of you guys. Keep up the great work. I mean, you asked a lot of great questions when I was on. You're down to earth. You're real. And I wish you guys the very, very best. I hope you have another 100. But at the same time, I just want to say to the Atlanta Braves, keep it up. Keep going on and bring another title to Atlanta. That would be awesome. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. This is Wes Bayless from the Steelwoods. And I just wanted to drop by and say hey and congratulations to Tug Cowart and Scott Munn on 100 episodes of Braves Country Podcast. I had the pleasure of being a guest on one of those episodes, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. They promised me tickets to a World Series game and a Braves victory this year if I would make this message. and say something nice about them. So anyways, we've got a record that's about to come out October 6th, and we want you to go pre-order that and see if you can listen to all 100 episodes of Braves Country Podcast between now and then. All right, y'all, hold it down. Go Braves.
Hey, this is Joel Solomon of Century 21 Solomon Properties here in Savannah, Georgia. Congratulations, Tug and Scott, for your 100th episode of the Braves Country Podcast. I'm so happy for you guys, and I'm so proud to be along for the ride for the past 3 years, and I can't wait to see what you guys are going to be doing next year. Hopefully I'll see you guys at the World Series. Go Braves!
Hey, this is Kevin Kinney from Driving and Crying, wishing Tug and Scott a happy 100th episode of the Braves Country Podcast. Keep on swinging for the fences, boys.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Braves Country supports the Warrior Alliance and the Shepherd's Mint, two phenomenal veteran organizations based in the South. Check out thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com for more info and resources. That's thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com. Braves Country would like to thank all of our nation's great veterans.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a Mad Men's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.